There's a few away this morning. Last day of holidays, taking advantage of being able to get away. Some still not well. So a bit continuing in prayer. Let's take our Bible, shall we, and turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. And this morning we're looking at the Lord's continual presence. The Lord's continual presence. I wonder if you've ever felt all alone. That there's no one out there that cares. No one's interested in what's going on in your life. Perhaps even you thought, God's left me. Well, this morning I want just to be able to encourage you and remind you that the Lord is continually present. He's present this morning, even now as we open His Word. And throughout His Word we find many people who perhaps doubted His presence, but He was able to encourage them with words that would help them understand that God is always with us. In Jeremiah chapter 23, and we think about the prophet Jeremiah, was also known as the weeping prophet. I'm sure he felt down and out sometimes as well. Okay, he didn't have a very pleasant job to perform. Sometimes he felt all alone, but God kept reminding him that He was with him in the job that he had to perform. Let's have a look at a couple of verses here in Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23, 23 and 24. And God's word says this: Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? Can any hide himself in secret places, that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, saith the Lord. What a great reminder to us this morning, and a great reminder to this prophet Jeremiah this morning, that God is always at hand. And he tells Jeremiah this. He says, I'm always close by. I'm handy. All right? He is always present. He is always here with us. Let's just pray this morning. Lord, we are so very thankful for your presence with us this morning. We pray, Lord God, that we might know that presence now, that your Holy Spirit will be able to teach. And Lord God, use this word of yours this morning to be very profitable, we pray. Help us, Lord God, to be able to put the things of this world afar off and to encourage our hearts in the word this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. One of God's attributes that is what part of who God really is, his makeup, what his nature is, his qualities, just makes what makes him to be the one and only God, is that he is omnipresent. Omnipresent, just omni means all present. He is present everywhere. And all God's attributes go hand in hand and are closely linked to each other. And when you think about it, God's omnipresence can only happen because he is omnipotent, which means he is all-powerful. So all these attributes work together to make up God's character. And as you study God out and who God is, and we should have that desire in our hearts to find out a little bit more about our Almighty God, all these work up to make the Almighty God. And God's omnipotence, when you think about it, if he's all-powerful, allows him to do anything, including to be omnipresent, to be everywhere at once in the present. His omnipresence allows him to be omniscient, knowing all that transpires, all that goes on, everything that's going on at this very moment, what you're thinking, what anybody else is thinking, all through the world, God knows all about that. It's omniscience. Omniscience means all knowing. So if God is everywhere at once, he knows what's going on everywhere at once as well. So all these things work together to make up our God. And you know, that's pretty puzzling for us because we can only be in one place at the one time. Okay, even though I do understand some people could be here this morning and be somewhere different. I do understand that happens sometimes. But not in this sense of where God is everywhere at once. And it's puzzling for us to figure that out because we are just really bound by this flesh, aren't we? We are really bound in time. God created time. When he created the night and the day, he created time. Time started ticking way back then. And we are bound by time. Whereas God, being a spirit, isn't bound by time. He's not bound by the things that keep us here. We can't be up in Queensland in the warm at the moment, like some people are this morning. We can't be there like that. Whereas God is there at this time. It's a bit of a puzzle to us. But it should be a comfort to us knowing that God is everywhere at the same time. That our God, our all-powerful God, is an all-knowing God that is everywhere at the same time. Should be a real comfort to us this morning. And he tells us that here, and he reminds Jeremiah of that here, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and a God not far off? And basically, this word at hand means as near as a neighbour. That's what it boils down to. A blood relative. Someone that is close, but it also has the idea of this, that he's in proximity, ready to help, ready to act. God is never far off, as it says here. And then it goes on to clarify that, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, saith the Lord. God is everywhere. God is everywhere. And he tells us that so that we're not confused with the fact of him being everywhere. Even in the secret places, God is there. God isn't very far off at any time. He's not a God that is remote. He is not a God that is a secret God who hides himself. We might try and hide ourselves from God, but God does not hide himself from us. He is always there. In fact, there is nowhere where God cannot be found. He is not hidden or some type of secret. He is in all places. He fills every place and abides in every time. He is the ever-present, almighty God. He is present in every part, physically and spiritually, of this world. And this morning I want to look at six things that will help us and hopefully encourage us as we look at this fact that God is continually present with us. So the first thing I want to look at this morning, we turn to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, shall we? We find many places in God's word to remind us that he is present with us. And here is one of them, and one of his people that did the work of the Lord, and that is Moses. In Exodus chapter 33, and in verse 12, we'll begin reading there. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Moses was a little bit worried. He'd been given a job to lead this people. God had been performing these marvelous miracles. But here's Moses, still a little bit doubtful. God, you've told me that, you know me by name. You've given me this job to do, but who's here to help me? Who's here to help me? Well, he did have Aaron, didn't he? But Moses is just a little bit worried here. He says, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Moses felt a little bit alone. The job just seemed a little bit too big for him. What did God say? Let's find out. Let's keep reading. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this people, this nation, is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses was a little bit worried that he was all alone, that God wasn't going with him. But here we find our first point this morning. Here is a promise that God made to Moses. And God's promise, His presence, is a promise. God's presence with us is made sure by His word over and over again. And here we find that in verse 14, God says, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." God makes that promise. He says to Moses, "I shall go with thee. I shall do it. I will give you rest. I will take you to that place of rest. I will take you into Canaan. I will take you to that promised land. I will be with you." That's all you need, Moses. You just need me. I will be with you. I make that promise to you. God's presence is a promise. God's word is truth, so we can read it here when He says, "I will give thee rest. I shall go with thee." God makes that promise. And over in God's word, we find Him making that promise to many, many people that "I will go with thee." Think about Joshua. Just before he went into the land, he'd just taken over from Moses and realized, hang on, now I'm in charge. What did God tell Joshua? "I'm going to be with you. Don't fear. Don't fear. I am going to be with you." Many, many places, think of David the shepherd boy. Despised by many because shepherds weren't that popular, but God said, "I'm going to be with you when you go out onto that field where Goliath is." Many places God said, "I am with you." We just read about Jeremiah. "I'm with you. I am at hand. I am close." You've got a job to do, Jeremiah. You've got to go and talk to the people. You've got to do this, Jeremiah. "I am going to be with you." And then, of course, we find in the New Testament, Jesus makes that very same promise to us. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13 this morning. Hebrews chapter 13, and a very well-known verse. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's have a look and see what it says. It says in 13 verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Now, a lot of people quote that last part of verse 5. "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Without sort of adding the first bit in, there's a little bit that we need to take note of as well. It says, "Let your conversation, let your way of life be without covetousness, and be content." Be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." A lot of people get too caught up in getting stuff, getting things, getting ahead in life, without thinking about the presence of God, without thinking about all we need is the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang this morning that chorus, "All that I need, all that I need." We're reminded of this over and over again. Here in this verse, we're reminded, be careful of your way of life, because sometimes things can take over from God's presence. Things can take over from you living a life for the Lord. Things can take over from you relying on God. You rely on the things before you rely on God. You don't dwell in His presence, but rather you dwell to have more things. All we need, really, as the song says, is our faith in Jesus and the promises that this faith brings, that He will give us that home above, that He has a great love for us. And as we've already seen just here before, that God promises that he is with us and he won't forsake us. Goes on to say there in verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. When we come to that realization of depending on him and not depending on the things of this world, our own strength or the strength of others or the strength of money or the strength of things, then we can rely on God's presence, because God's presence will give us a boldness before men so that we can withstand those things that come into our lives that would cause fear, that might cause some sort of problems in our lives. We'll be able to withstand it. He says here, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This word leave is an interesting word. It means to slacken. Now we know of a surety that God is not slack concerning his promises. God's not slack concerning his promises. In relation to him returning, that's a promise. In relation to this, I will never leave thee and forsake you, that's a promise. He's not slack concerning that. He's not going to let up. Nothing's going to stop him. He won't desert you. He won't leave you. It says here he would not forsake you. And this has the idea of being left alone in one place. God's not going to do that to us. He promises that he will be with us so that we can go on boldly. We can have boldness before men. So this is a great promise that God has given to us, that the Lord is continually present with us. Number two, he is present to know all. And we've already talked about this, to know all. He is omniscient. Let's turn back to a very well-known passage on this, Psalm 139. Psalm 139 in our Bibles, and we know what we're going to see here. A psalm dedicated to showing that God is all-knowing, but also that God is present. Psalm 139. Now these are just marvellous verses. In the first four verses, I want you to look carefully with me. We're going to read up to verse 16, but in the first four verses, I just want you to read along with me to see the words know, or words related to knowing. Okay? O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Just these four verses, a quick little summary of what we're going to see in the rest of the psalm here. Did you see those words? You have known me. Thou knowest my down sitting. Thou understandest my thought. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. Thou knowest it altogether. God knows everything. God knows everything. Let's continue reading. Thou hast beset me, verse 5, beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. See some marvellous things here that God knows everything and is everywhere. Whither shall I flee from thy presence? Anywhere we go, God is there. God knows what's going on. He understands what's going on. He has a purpose and a plan for everything that goes on. And there's not a circumstance or a trial or a hardship in life that he doesn't know about. Now, this psalm was written by who? David. Was written by King David. Was it an easy life for David? No. Many a time David had people after him. Most of the time, King Saul. He had many other enemies. And if we look down to verse 19 and 20, he talks about the wicked people. He's heard the wicked people. It says here in verse 24, they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. David knew the wickedness of men's hearts and what they could get up to, because he had that happen to him. He'd had people pursuing him. He'd had people trying to kill him. David had trials in his life. David knew about this, but David also knew that God knew all about David. Right from conception, God knew about David. God knew about David's life. God knew about David when he was younger, through to the time when he was appointed. God knew all these things. And God was able to help David in all these things. And David was able to come to a place knowing God is with me. God is present. God is with me continually. And then we see also that this was enabled David to come to that place in his life where he was known as a man after God's own heart. He took great comfort in this throughout all his life. And I want to encourage us this morning too to understand that God knows all about us. He knows all about us in the present. He knows all about us in the future and also in the past. He knows all about us. We should understand and be encouraged by this, that God knows what's going on. Number three, he is present in time of trouble. He is present in time of trouble. Let's go back a few psalms to Psalm 46, shall we, and have a look at some verses here. Psalm 46. Now, it was very easy this morning to skip over, just pick out some little verses here, but some of these psalms, just like we read back in Psalm before, that it would be easy just to skip over some verses and pull a few little interesting things out, but these verses hold so much. So we're going to read Psalm 46 and just have a look where it starts here. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. This entire psalm displays the presence of God in times of trouble and upheaval. And as we go down and have a look through it, we see the examples of trouble and upheaval described as roaring waters like a flood. They're described as shaking mountains like an earthquake. They're described as raging heathens coming up against those people of God. Melting earth. The kingdoms move. Okay? Perhaps you might say, that sounds like my life. That sounds like my life. But we can be encouraged because it says here, right at the beginning, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And though the floodwaters of troubles come up, the mountains shake, the heathen rage against you, kingdoms are being moved, God is still with us. And right through this psalm, he keeps reminding us that over and over again. He gives first of all, he says, God is our refuge and strength. And then tells us, yes, when in times of trouble, when the earth's moving, when these things are happening, God is with us. Down in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Then it goes down to verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. We can be encouraged in these things, no matter what's going on, that God is continually present with us to give us strength and to help us in a troubled world. No matter what's going on. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 43 and look at some of the description given in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43 and the first three verses. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. In time of trouble, God is with us. And he says there in these verses, I will be with thee. In the middle of verse 2, I will be with thee. Here's another promise that he gives to us. He is going to be with thee no matter what the trouble is going to be. He says right there at the beginning, I've created thee, I've redeemed thee, I know thy name, and I wonder this morning, does everyone here know the Lord this morning? Are you his this morning? Does he know you by name? Has he redeemed you? Because if this is the case, then you can cling to the fact that he is with you all the time, even in those great times of trouble. Now, you might think, I haven't been there, haven't done that. Perhaps that's coming. And perhaps what you need to do is make sure that you understand the presence of God before those times come. And realize that he is there in times of trouble. Number 4, he is present to reward. He is present to reward. Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6. He is there all the time, and he recognizes that there is a reward for faithfulness. God is with us there to reward us. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know, this is the place where we can find God. Here's another place where he is present. We find him there in the secret place of prayer. sometimes we do need to draw aside to that secret place to know the presence of God. And this is probably one of the best and blessed places to find the presence of God, in that secret place of prayer, where you are alone with God in prayer, away from the noise and hustle and bustle of the world. Because it tells us that when you do that, he sees that. When you're in that secret place of prayer, when you're in that place of fellowship by yourself, you and God, he sees that and says, I'm going to reward that. I'm going to reward that. He is ready to reward a faithful servant who comes into that secret place of prayer. A little bit unlike the disciples. Remember, the disciples were asked to wait. And what did Jesus tell them to do? Wait and what did they do? Snoozed off. Okay? Too often we might say, well, I didn't get to pray this morning, I was a little bit busy, slept in. The Lord Jesus expected his disciples to pray. Sadly, they didn't do that. But remember this, when we pray, God is present. When we pray, God is listening. When we pray, God is watching. When we pray, God is ready to reward. When we pray, in other words, God is ready to bless. God is ready to answer your prayers. So we need to make sure, as it tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's a reward. When you pray, when you boldly come before the throne, God gives you his grace to help you in that time of trouble. What a reward that is. Now, some people might think what I'm saying here is that what you need to do is you go and you ask God something, he's going to give it to you. Now, what his reward is his grace. He gives you sufficient grace in time of need. If you come boldly into that secret place of prayer, that's his reward, his grace. And we need to realize that. We need to make sure when we come seeking an answer that God's grace is available to us. When we come seeking help for something, God's grace is available to us. When we come seeking a blessing, his grace is there, and that's the reward he gives to us, his grace. So we find he is continually present and ready to reward when we pray. And it tells us that we should also pray without ceasing. When we pray, when we're in communication with God, when we're in that secret place, he is ready to reward us. Number five, he is present in death. Let's turn back to Psalm 23. Now, as I was preparing this, I got to this part of it, and I nearly could have just stayed in Psalm 23 to talk about the presence of the Lord, because it's all here in Psalm 23. Although I just wanted to relate to you from Psalm 23, he is present in death. Because Psalm 23 talks about the presence of the Lord. Look at verse 4 of Psalm 23. Might help if I get Psalms and not Proverbs. Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Notice what it says at the beginning of the psalm. Just the first three words. The Lord is. Here we find the presence of God. The Lord is. And it goes on to talk about the Lord is the ever-present shepherd watching over his flock. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? A whole psalm written here to show us the continual presence of God as the shepherd. He is present to provide pastures and water. Let's have a look at that. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He watches over the needs that I have as his sheep. He is present to provide rest and leading. He is present to provide spiritual needs, righteousness, and a restored soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He is also present in the time of death. Now, whether that means when you would die, or whether that is in the death of another person, a loved one or someone close to you, we know that God is present in that situation. He makes that promise. He is with you there to be a comfort. He is with you there so that you don't need to fear. He is with you there in that shadowy place, that dark place, because he is your shepherd and he is watching over you. Thou art with me. You're with me to give comfort. You're with me to allay any fear of evil. You're with me to bring me to that place of rest found in the house of the Lord as we finish up there. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is with us until he brings us to that place of rest, to that place of fellowship in his dwelling place. What a comfort and encouragement to know that when we or another faces death, the Lord is continually present. And then finally, let's turn to Matthew 28. The Lord has made this promise to us that he is going to be with us. But how long will that promise last? How long does this promise take effect? In Matthew 28, and we read the last few verses of this from verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. And lo, Jesus is going to be with you. For how long? To the end of the world. Forever. The Lord's is going to be present with us to the end. A promise to his disciples at the end of the book of Matthew, a promise to us today. Jesus gave his disciples a job to do, to go out and preach the gospel. Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to be present with you until the job is done. The same promise is for us too. Whatever circumstances you are in, working for the Lord, Jesus is with us. Whatever circumstances, hardships you come across in serving him, the Lord will always be there right through to the end. Whether that end might be through death or when the Lord comes back again, he will be with us. And we can be confident of that. It tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. In eternity, we will be present with him forever. It's going to be great to be absent from this body, to be absent from this world, and to be present. It tells us also that this is a time of exceeding joy, not only to God, but to us as well. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God's presence should give us that. God's presence should give us that exceeding joy even now, knowing that in the future we're going to be with him forever. Because, as we've seen, we are in his presence now. He's promised that. His presence is a promise. His presence helps us to understand that he knows everything that's going on. His presence gives us peace in times of trouble. His presence seeks to provide a reward for us when we pray and seek His face. His presence gives light and hope in the darkness of death. And His presence is for now, the future, and for eternity. And I hope this morning that as we've looked at these few short things, that we've been able to be encouraged to understand, to know of a surety that He is present with us. Just have a look at the end of verse 20 in Matthew again. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then what does He say? So let it be. Amen. And we should end there, because we can end there confidently and say, Jesus is with us. Amen to that. We can be joyful in that this morning.